This is Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck.
Hello and welcome to Into the Multiverse. Okay, what is the difference between a scientific theory and just what we normally would think of a theory in culture? Because you hear this a lot, you know, well, it's just a theory. And, you know, I get the point they're making, you know, especially if talking about like evolution. We hear that a lot from other Christians. Well, evolution is just a theory. But when science talks about a theory, is that what they're really talking about? And this is not an episode on evolution. Maybe I should use gravity instead as an example. We'll probably do that. But before we get into that, if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe, click the bell, let YouTube know you want to be notified. And if you're not, just know that every Thursday morning at 9 a.m., you will get a new episode of Into the Multiverse right here on this channel. Also, Roku, the Skywatch app, PTL Network. It is everywhere. So... it's very easy to find. Now, if you're wondering, if you haven't caught the past couple of weeks and are wondering why I'm not in the studio, I've got a minor injury on my knee. I need some minor surgery. Not a big deal. I'm okay, but I am kind of immobilized for a few weeks. So for the next few episodes, next couple episodes, I'm recording these from home with this backdrop. And as soon as I am able, I will get myself back to the Skywatch TV studio to record more, and we'll do it from there. But I didn't want to take a break. I didn't want to go on hiatus. Ever since this show started, we haven't missed a week yet. Even if I had guest hosts or whatever, we've done that before, and I didn't want to start now. So that's the deal with this. It's not going to be forever. It's not the new deal. But it just for a couple of weeks, it's going to be like that. So yeah, the difference between a scientific theory and what we might think of as a theory. Usually when we think theory, we think like an idea or a scientific theory is a specific type of theory that's used in the scientific method. And the term theory can mean really a lot of different things, depending who you talk to. So James Tanner, who's a professor of biology at Marble College, has said, quote, The way that scientists use the word theory is a little different than how it's commonly used in the lay public. Most people use the word theory to mean an idea or hunch that someone has, but in science, the word theory refers to the way we interpret facts. So what's the process of becoming a scientific theory? So every scientific theory starts at a hypothesis. This is part of the scientific method. A scientific hypothesis is a suggested solution for an unexplained occurrence that doesn't fit into a currently accepted scientific theory. So usually what we would think of as a theory is what science would call a hypothesis. So if you have like just, if you culturally using the word theory, if you just have a theory about something and maybe it's this way and maybe it's not, that's really a hypothesis. That when scientists say theory, that's not what they're talking about. So for example, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, a hypothesis is an idea that hasn't been proven yet. So if enough evidence accumulates to support a hypothesis, it moves up to the next step, which is known as a theory. And in the scientific method, it becomes accepted as a valid explanation of the phenomena. Now, of course, you can still dispute theories. There's nothing wrong with that. You can still dispute theories. Theories still can be wrong or incomplete. That happens. But Tanner further explained that a scientific theory is the framework for observations and facts. So theories may change, or the way that they're interpreted may change, but the facts themselves don't change. So Tanner likens theories to a basket in which scientists keep facts and observations that they find. Now, we've talked about this on this show in terms of observation and interpretation. Theory is kind of a more solid interpretation. You could look at it that way. But the facts and observations themselves, they don't change. So the shape of that basket may change as the scientists learn more and include more facts. Tanner says, quote, for example, we have ample evidence of traits in populations becoming more or less common over time. And he's using evolution. I personally would not use evolution as an example, but just as an example, let's go with this because I can make a point on that later. So he goes on to say, so evolution, There's different forms of evolution, by the way. Usually when us Christians have a problem with evolution, we have a problem with one version of evolution. There are certain traits that pass down. Scientists would call that evolution. But that evolution doesn't only the whole we come from monkeys thing. That's only one type of evolution. I think there's six or seven different types. That's the type that we have issue with because of God and the Bible and all that stuff. Well, some Christians, some don't. But most of what's categorized under evolution, you know, scientifically, we wouldn't really take issue with, because you can see certain traits like in rats, you know, you can see multiple generations of rats over a really short period of time because they reproduce real fast. You can see certain genetic traits that continue, some that get kind of weeded out. And that's a type of evolution. But, you know, typically as Christians, we just don't really like that word because we think of the one, you know, we think of Darwinian evolution. You know, we think of that, but that's only one thing. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there that I'm not using this to try to promote evolution or anything. But his quote, continuing on. So evolution, again, I'm quoting somebody here. This is what he says. He's using this as an example. He says, so evolution is a fact, but the overarching theories about evolution, the way we think all of the facts go together, might change as new observation of evolution are made, end quote. So I would say, now, you know, they say evolution is a fact. Now it's true, evolution is a theory, but that doesn't mean that it's a hypothesis. So you can't really disprove a fact. You can disprove a theory because a theory is like an interpretation of a fact. So usually, like with Darwinian evolution, a lot of it is, let's take one example of they find these bones, you know, some kind of look part ape and part man, and so they see those as like missing links between monkey and man. But that's one interpretation. That's a theory. Now the fact is there are bones that are strange looking, and some look more human than others, some look more monkey than others. But there's a wide variety of interpretation. There are other theories that go along with that could help explain it. And they've gone past the hypothesis stage. So that's what we mean when we say theory. So here's some theory basics. The University of California, Berkeley defines a theory as, quote, a broad natural explanation for a wide range of phenomena. Theories are concise, coherent, systematic, predictive, and broadly applicable, often integrating and generalizing many hypotheses, end quote. And see, that's where Darwinian evolution kind of has a problem with the predictiveness. Because you can't predict something. What would you predict? And you can't test it because it's over such a long period of time, so they say. So predictive, that's kind of missing there. But theory-wise, you could take like the theory of gravity, and you can make a lot of predictions based on like the Einsteinian theory of relativity and things like that. You can make predictions on that and test it. And see if it's more true or not. But that's how it goes from a hypothesis to a theory. So you have the hypothesis of, you know, how gravity works, for example, and through testing that through the scientific method, it can kind of graduate to a theory. So any scientific theory has got to be based on, or should be based on, careful and rational examination of the facts. That's how it's supposed to work. Facts and theories are two different things. So in the scientific method, there's a clear distinction between facts, which can be observed or measured, and theories, which are scientists' explanations and interpretations of the facts. So an important part of scientific theory includes statements that have observational consequences. So a good theory, like Newton's theory of gravity, for example, it has unity, which means it consists of a limited number of problem-solving strategies that can be applied to a wide range of scientific circumstances. And another feature of a good theory is that it formed from a number of hypotheses that can be tested independently. So that's a good way of looking at it. Now, a scientific theory is not the end result of the scientific method. Theories can be proven or rejected, just like hypotheses. So theories can be improved or modified as more information is gathered so that the accuracy of the prediction becomes greater over time. Theories are foundations for furthering scientific knowledge and for putting the information gathered to practical use. Scientists can use theories to develop inventions or find cures for diseases or things like that. Now, some think that theories become laws, but theories and laws have separate and distinct roles in the scientific method. A law is a description of an observed phenomena phenomenon in the natural world that holds true every time that it's tested. It doesn't explain why something is true. It just states that it is true. So like the laws of thermodynamics and things like that. Now, a theory, on the other hand, it's used to explain observations that are gathered during the scientific process. So while law and theory are part of the scientific process, they're two different aspects of it, you know, and that's according to pretty much every scientist out there. So a good example of the difference between a theory and a law is the case of Gregor Mendel. In his research, Mendel discovered that two separate genetic traits would appear independently of each other in different offspring. Yet Mendel knew nothing of DNA or chromosomes. It wasn't until a century later that scientists discovered DNA and chromosomes, the biochemical explanation of Mendel's laws. So Mendel had the law, but the theory or the explanation of why that was the case came later. So it was only then that scientists, you know, such as T.H. Morgan working with fruit flies, explained the law of independent assortment, for example, using the theory of chromosomal inheritances. But still today, this is a universally accepted explanation or theory for Mendel's law, but that doesn't, again, it doesn't mean it's set in stone. It might become more complete the more it's tested, or there could be another explanation that will be discovered later that still somehow incorporates aspects of the theory that we're familiar with today. So or maybe not at all, you know. So it depends. It's further testing. So a theory isn't just a hypothesis. That's the main takeaway. And I think we as Christians should get a hold of that, because a lot of times when we use the argument, well, it's just a theory, so we can throw the whole thing away. That's not what scientists are talking about. It's not a hypothesis. If it is a hypothesis, then yeah, you know, wait for further testing. A theory, it doesn't mean we have to agree with it, but we do have to take it more seriously than to just cast it off. We have to put more research and time into explaining why we disagree with a theory. So if we're going to disagree with the theory of, say, Darwinian evolution, it's not enough to just say, well, that was just an idea he had. It's just a theory, so who cares? It's just some thought he thought up. He had reasons for his interpretation. Now, while his interpretation may be wrong, depending which side of the aisle you are on that issue, if you believe that his scientific theory is wrong, then if you're going to claim that, you got to provide another theory. You got to provide another interpretation that goes along with the observations. And there's been a lot of creation scientists who have done that, and there's a wide array of interpretations. So it's interesting, and it doesn't have to be contentious. That's the main takeaway. But so I wanted to put that out there. I wanted to explain what a scientific theory is, because I hear this argument a lot, and I don't think it helps our cause as Christians to be so flippant about it. So I hope that helps. I hope that is informative. And again, if you haven't had a chance, make sure you subscribe and click on the little bell, so hopefully YouTube will notify you, because it was at first that, well, okay, subscribing doesn't mean anything anymore, but now it's kind of turning out that clicking the little bell doesn't mean anything anymore. So it's just going to have to be, you're just going to have to remember, or you can bookmark the YouTube page. Just remember that every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. you'll get a new episode on YouTube, and right around that time on Roku and the app and all those places. Sometimes it takes a few minutes to get up there. There's also a podcast version, the Skywatch podcast. You can find that at skywatchtv.com and other places like that. Okay, thank you so much for watching, and until next time, take care and God bless.
Global experts are now debating whether humanity should fear the rise of AI assassins. Will transhumanism, singularity, and demonically infused killer robots be the last onslaught of Satan in an attempt to destroy every human on Earth? Learn what the Bible has to say on this very urgent topic now in the new oversized book, Terminated, by legendary author Steve Quayle. In Terminated, you will learn why hundreds of artificial intelligence experts believe that humanity will soon experience gigadeath at the hands of autonomous killing machines. Why hybridizing humans is thrusting us toward a golden age of mythical monsters and godlike humans. And what Jesus declared about God's plan to shorten the days here on Earth, because if not, there would be no flesh left alive. Plus, when you order Terminated from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the brand new documentary movie from Gen 6 Productions, Forbidden History Revealed. The Egyptian presence in the Americas and the Pacific Rim, the Great Smithsonian Cover-Up. Now, for the first time in history, you'll watch an eyewitness account of actual Egyptian artifacts and giant skeletons that were excavated from the Grand Canyon and burial mounds across the U.S. and South America, stored for over 100 years in a secret underground Smithsonian warehouse. This full-length feature film also asks the questions: why is the DNA of giant mummies and viable skeletons being extracted by the militaries of the world? Was a living 21-foot giant captured in 1877 with the most unusual features ever noted? And will the giants of yesterday become the super soldiers of tomorrow? These two incredible new works are available together for a special donation of only $50 now at the SkywatchTVStore.com. So don't delay. Order Terminated, the Steve Quayle special offer, online now or call 1-844-750-4985.